Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu wassalam wa la so kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to today's episode of Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. This is a show the partnership between Muslim Public Affairs Center and WFM. It's something that we do to, you know, keep ourselves abreast of our day-to-day journey in Islam, constantly reminding ourselves, because ultimately we will want to be in Jannah, but it won't be a walk in the park, you see. So we have to work together, stick together, abide by the guidelines set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as best as we can. And to do that, we have to do that with knowledge. And so we bring scholars in their own various fields to re-enlighten us about this path that we are on. May Allah continue to make it easy for every single one of us. My name is Amina Adams, and I'll be the one in driver's seat today. Subhanallah, we're looking at a very, very interesting topic today, and it's the mahar. Do you have the mahar? We'll know more about this when I bring on my guest after this break. Stay with us.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home and stay with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. Thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I'll stay by your side, honest and true.
Nights you were sleepless, I know we weren't easy, and you are the reason I'm here. And no other feeling can top what you mean to me. I owe you all of my years. I love you the most. I just want you to know. You gave me the love I always need. My heart will always be your home. I'll be there forever. Up in endless love, X marks the spot. You're my treasure. Can't thank the Lord enough. You are my angel, my superhero. Forever I'm grateful. Always a part of me.
My heart, soul, and body.
with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, love, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please. Now I know how it's like to have your precious love in my life. Now I know how it feels to finally be at peace inside.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna, wa Raziquna, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, Allah is the one who loves the Muhsinin. He is our creator, He is our sustainer, and He is the one who has power over all.
You're welcome back. If you're just joining us, it's Everyday Muslim here on WFM 91.7. And today, inshallah, we're looking at, do you have the mahar? What is the mahar? What does this entail? What's all this about? I do have my guest who will do justice to this topic with me. He's a regular on the show, Dr. Salauddin Muniruddin Ariadi. He is the lecturer at Department of Foreign Language, Lagos State University of Education. He's also the Mudir at Zamzam Academy in Ota. He holds a PhD in Arabic Linguistic Studies from the International Islamic University in Malaysia. He holds a PhD from Nigerian Open University. He holds MA Arabic Language and Literature from Lagos State University in Lasu, a BA in Arabic Language from Usman Danfodio University in Sokoto. He also holds a diploma in Zuleikha Abiola College of Arabic and Islamic Studies from Abeokuta. He's an author of many, many books, including Learn to Lead. You want to get that book and get to know what it entails, what characteristics, features of a good leader, and how best to lead. So today he's going to walk us through the journey of mahar. If you don't know what mahar is, never heard the word before, or you've heard it, you honestly don't understand, and this is a show for you, you want to call your family and friends to join us right now, WFM 91.7. Imam, salam alaikum to Allah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. So I think the best thing, or the first thing we should do, is to set the tone. If you would help us enlighten our listeners what exactly the concept of mahar in Islam is, and its importance in its, you know, in the context of Islamic law and our culture.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are Muslims. This is the best favor that a man can look for or pray for. It is given to us freely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wishes and wants to the right path. And we have to appreciate that. مَا كُنَّا لِنَهَتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. If not for Allah, we wouldn't have been on the right path. May Allah be pleased with the noblest of mankind, Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with His household and every one of us. The day of resurrection, I greet us once again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Like my sister has rightly said, when we are talking about mahar, it is very important to discuss this topic, because some of our girls or some of our sisters don't really know the importance of mahar. In such a way, it gets to a stage that a sister would dash out mahar. A sister claims to be more religious than the sahabiyat, the female companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that accepted and collected mahar. You see a sister telling you that, no, I don't want mahar because I fear Allah. Those who fear Allah most collected their mahar. So when we're talking about mahar, we are talking about a very important thing in a marriage.
Right.
It gives solace to a woman.
Okay.
it makes a woman more convinced and comfortable that yes, I am legally married.
Okay.
I am honored. It's a kind of a honored a woman, and it distinguishes a responsible woman from that one that is just picked somewhere.
Hmm.
So mahar signifies a very important aspect of our marriage. And when we are talking about mahar, you see, in Islam, because of the importance of mahar, we have almost 9 names given to mahar.
Mashallah.
Al-mahar, as-sadaq, as-sadaqa, al-nihla, al-farido, al-ajru, al-ukru, al-hiba, al-alaiq. All what I've just mentioned, you find the legality and the backing from Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. When we are talking about the concept and the importance, we will first go to the Quran.
No.
If Allah is instructing us to do something, then that is very important.
Absolutely.
Because Allah has nothing to gain from us. And whatever Allah is making lawful for us is to our own advantages. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, especially in Quran, Surah Al-Nisa, Quran 4, verse 4,
yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa'atu nisa asadqatihinna nihla. You see, in Sharia, there's what we call Al-Amru. Al-Amru is like his commandment of Allah.
Yes.
If Allah has instructed you, you have no option.
Yeah.
So this sentence is coming as imperative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the man that atu hunna ujurahunna aw atu hunna sadaqati inna nihla. It is not optional. It is a commandment from Allah that you give them their mahar. So mahar is important, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us men to do it. It is also important, if you go to Quran 4, the same surah An-Nisa, verse 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fa'atuhunna ujurahunna faridatan. There's a specific amount mentioned by Sharia, 10 dirhams in those days.
Yeah.
Allah said, the one you have agreed upon in your own locality, it is compulsory for you to give it to a woman you are showing your love to, or you are picking as your better half. It also came as a commandment from Allah.
No.
In the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses sadaqatihin.
No.
It is mahar.
No.
In the second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses ujurahunna. When I say ujur is right.
Hmm.
If you work for me now, and you want to ask in Arabic that, give me my wages. Ujur, it is called ujur. So, you see, we want to change the perspective that I dash you, I give it to you as a gift. It is not just a gift.
It's my entitlement.
It's your entitlement, it's your right. So, because
right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses ujurahunna.
No.
In that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, except if they give up some portions.
Okay.
And that is why I want to call the attentions of our sisters. That it is negotiable. Mahar must be negotiable. It is not something you say, I'm not condemning reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, we are coming to that. Or Surah Al-Nas. A sister will just say to a brother that, I want Surah Al-Nisa or Surah Al-Nas. And the brother will, A'udhu Billah. We are not condemning it. We are coming to that, I'm sure.
Okay.
But this is something that is negotiable.
No.
And in the verse, Quran chapter 4, verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن تِبُنَ لَكُمْ أَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنْ أُنَّفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ عَنِيهَا مَرِيًا. It's only when they give up some portion from this mahab, then you can heat it up. If it is not negotiable, how will a woman say, okay, I give a portion? So a woman, every woman in Islam is honored. And that is why you have to say out what you want from your husband to be, or your would husband.
Okay.
Why? Because it is not just a gift, I said it. It is a license. No, it is a license to where nobody can have access to.
No.
And that's why we advise our scholars, our brothers, our ulama, that on the nikah day, they will be inviting people to come and contribute to mahar. No! It is not everybody that we have access to that place. We call it istiftahul farj. Istiftahul farj means a key to our privacy. A key to our privacy. She has been guiding ourselves for long. She wants to open up to you that you have access to everywhere in her body. Then you must be committed. You must show a kind of a sense of commitment. So that is what mahar means. And in conclusion on that part, we are still talking about the concept and the importance. Somebody came to Rasulullah
Sallallahu
offering herself to Rasulullah that I want to marry you. But the Prophet was not interested. That is not where I'm going. But a Sahaba was sitting by Rasulullah. I was interested in that woman. And Rasulullah said, okay, if you are interested in her, no problem. She's not as free as that. For the fact that a woman develops or piques interest in a man does not mean that she's useless. If you are interested in her, you have to show a kind of sense of commitment. What do you have with you? Do you have anything? Hal min shay'in tusiddiquha bihi? Do you have any mahar you want to give to her? He searched here and there. He couldn't find anything. The Prophet said, "Iltamis walau khatiman min hadidin." Look around. Even if it's going to be a ring of ordinary iron, not gold, not silver, nothing, not diamond, just a ring made of iron, from iron. He said, "I couldn't find." The Prophet said, "Al ma'aka shay'un min al-Quran." I can't release this woman to you. You must show a kind of a honor to her. If you know anything from Quran that you can recite or you teach her. Then he said, yes, I have some portions of Quran that I can read. That was when the Prophet ﷺ considered him to read Quran. So look at the status, the financial status of your would-be husband. If he's capable of buying you car, why not ask for it? That does not mean that you love this world. Him who does not love this world will migrate from this world. So that's just the submission on that.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah khair. And I like the way you've set the tone. And as you were talking, the one word just kept popping in my head: bride price, bride price. Is it the same thing as mahar? Is there a difference?
There's a difference between bride price and mahar.
Okay.
Bride price is what the family of wood husband brought, the gift, they brought the money. In Yoruba, they will say, "Owo yale, owo babale, owo omole." All these gifts they brought, even if it is monetary and whatever, they brought and gave to the family of the would-be wife. That is bride price.
Okay.
So you see, people are misconstruing it and they are misquoting it. They are even using it interchangeably. It's not. Mahar is legally stated in the Quran, clearly without any ambiguity. But when you are talking about the bride price, you see, they will say, give us list.
Mm-hmm.
For example, now if I'm interested in your daughter and you say, okay, ustaz, no problem, I'll give you a list. Mm-hmm. And you mention the list, you have to buy this, you have to buy this, you have to, whatever we bring to you is regarded as what?
Bride price. Okay, so bride price is to the family of the wife-to-be, while the mahar is strictly for the wife.
For
her alone.
Exactly.
But she can share from it.
I'm sorry, people are still... you see, when you see some translation or translated verses, you see some scholars translating mahar as dowry.
Yes.
Mahar is not dowry. Because dowry, if you search for the meaning of dowry, dowry is what a bride to be is presenting to the would be husband.
Really?
That is dowry.
Oh my goodness.
That is dowry.
So
it's not that is not mahar. Whatever you are giving as a would be wife to your husband is a gift, because it is also allowed in Islam.
Of course.
So that is what is called dowry. But because, you see, if you want to translate, you want to render the original text from Quran or Hadith into English, you just look for the equivalents.
And
that's why we don't fought it. But in the reasons of it, mahar is sacred. You see, in Yoruba land, our mothers will say, I am married, given mahar. They will beat their chest in our mother tongue. They say, "What feminist you locker?" That is, I collected the mahar. So, and that is why you see it's very easy for men nowadays to just say, "Go to your house. I'm not interested in
it."
Because he just took you anyhow, and you allowed him to take you anyhow. So, my sister, that you are listening to us, you are precious, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarded you as so honored. I am not saying, we are coming to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should place what your husband will not be able to do. You should place it on him.
But that's the next question for me. I want to ask you, is there a limit? Is there a guideline? Is there a fixed amount? You know, does it change from generation to generation? Because I'm glad you mentioned 10 dirhams earlier on in your quoting from the Quran. So does it change per custom? Or how exactly is mahar determined? Who determines it? And you said it's negotiable. So So a woman can say my price is 15 million naira, for example, and then during the do not do right, you know, negotiation process, he says, well, I can't afford more than 5 million. And she goes, okay, pay 5 million and I'll pay some later. You know, just how exactly does this my house play out?
You have answered the question.
Huh?
Yes, you have really answered the question. Because when we are talking about mahar, something of mutual understanding between a man and a woman that are interested in each other. I want you. You can't just take me like that. Although you are not paying me, you are not paying what my parents have invested in me, but you must show sense of
commitment.
Commitment. Okay. So it is negotiable. And you see, I mentioned 10 dirham in those days. The scholar said they unanimously agreed upon the fact that, yes, based on your locality.
Okay.
I just returned from Jordan. In Jordan, they said the money, the mahar there, men could not bear it. And that's why it's very difficult for you to see a man getting married to 2-3 wives. Because the first one said he can't bear it. So if what determines this? Our locality, our areas, our orientations, and even the status of the person you want to go for. If you know he's rich, he can bear it. I remember one of our scholars in Yoruba land, I don't want to mention his name because of his privacy.
No.
He was picking one of his wives, and the wife said, I want to go to Hajj, and I need a brand new car.
Mashallah.
And the Ustaz said, no problem, I will provide a new car now, but your Hajj will be deferred.
Mm.
So that is to tell us that you can take it instantaneously or delay it. It can be paid up front. You can collect half of it.
But now,
and later you collect parts. And you can even renegotiate later. It's allowed.
Oh,
yes, it's possible.
Excuse me, sir. Hello, hello. Mr. T, for coming. Renegotiation on the table. Okay, now.
You can renegotiate.
Oh, that's good.
For example, you have collected 10,000 or 5,000 because of the love and because you were not even aware of the
how big his pocket is. He was hiding, he was coding.
I need more.
Okay, now.
With love, you present to him and he will also understand. Okay, for example, a man who has gotten married to a woman for about 20 years ago and is now picking the second wife.
Right.
The first wife collected like 5,000 naira then, and this one is collecting 500 million naira, for example.
Okay.
And the first wife was like, I collected 5,000 naira. And the husband was like, that was then. Okay, that was then. This time around, I want to renegotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me this and this? It is a symbol of love. It is not something that you have to say this. And for a husband that is understanding, it is a symbol of love. And that's why last one of Adela says, if they give it up, no problem. If they say, okay, don't worry, take it or take part of it. If they could do that, you should also allow them to renegotiate if they want to renegotiate. And it is allowed in Islam that if you say this is what I want, you specify, and at the end of the day you discover that what he is presenting is not up to what you have requested for, you can reject it. I'm not that free.
Mm-hmm. I'm not cheap.
I'm not selling myself.
Yeah.
I'm not cheap. I'm not selling myself. So that is it. It is the honor Allah has accorded women with. And we have to regard it as honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah. So this, still speaking about the affordability, at what point does a woman say, oh, this guy wants to take me for a ride, he's not interested in paying the mahar, you know, even if I've deferred it and he's still saying, like, even in the future, I'm not able to pay that. You know, how does this conversation go? And does a mahar then stand in the way of, okay, I'm not going on with this engagement, I don't want to get married to him because he's abusing this mahar? Or, you know, I'm just from this, how sensitive is this mahar and how far can conversation
be? Thank you. Because we have to be very careful when we are discussing anything that has to do with our religion so that we don't abuse it or misunderstand. That's why I love the way you put the question. Mahar is not a condition for marriage.
Okay.
Just like your consent is a condition. I mean, a woman's consent is a condition.
Okay.
The acceptability or the consent or approval of his parents is a condition.
Right.
Mahar is not a condition like that. You can say because you have not pronounced mahar or you have not given mahar, then you will not go ahead with the act nikah. No.
Okay.
You can go ahead with the act nikah. Some scholars only say that, okay, you can continue and later you say what you want, or you say it now, you will say, okay, later I'll give it to you. That is why we should not say because it's not ready to do this, I'm not going for that. You still have a lot of things to benefit from him. But just make sure that there are many things you can consider. So you consider this, it's 100%, this one is 100%, the deen, the huluk, the attitude, the character, everything, the family background is okay. You know, say because of marriage, you are not going for that marriage. It's not up to that. We just advise the sister to take it easy.
Right.
And you know, mahar could also be, it may not only be restricted to money. Anything that can be transacted, it could be mahar. You see, rendering the service could be mahar. Yes.
Really?
That my father has a company and is looking for an engineer, and you know you are an engineer, at least for 3, 4, 5 years, can you serve as a manager or as an energy engineer in my father's company? And he said, okay, no problem, I will do that for 4 years. That's your mahar.
Mashallah.
It's allowed. And that was what happened between Musa Ali
Islam
and the father of his would-be wife. He said, will you render service for 8 years? And Musa said, no problem. And the father, the in-law said, if you can make it 10 years. Musa said, no problem, there's no problem, I will make it 10 years. The father said, it's only 8 years. And at the end of the eighth year, he gave the daughter to marriage. So we can use that as a, and we have also seen a Sahabiya, a woman during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that told the husband that you are a kafir. So you want to marry me? If you embrace Islam, that is my mahar. If you really love me, then embrace Islam. And he embraced Islam sincerely, he became a Muslim. So she won his heart for Allah and made it a mahar. So for you to see that,
there's different angles to negotiating this mahar. Mashallah. So this mahar, does it remain the property of the wife? Is it refundable, irrespective of circumstances, or are there circumstances when, you know, I know you said you can give up a part of it, and that's because it's in the Quran, but then in what instances do you give up a part of your mahar, or what's the status? Is it permanently yours? So for example, let me paint a scenario. If I ask for a mahar and I say I want Hajj, I want a property in Dubai, for example, I want instantly 50 million naira in my account, and so I'm doing present right now, give me something now, give me something later, and you know, so if later on down the line things happen and with pathways, what happens?
It pays back based on the modality of your parting way.
Okay.
How do I mean? If it is talaq, divorce is divided into three.
No.
We have discussed it earlier. Yes. We have fasakh, we have talaq, and we have khulu. I want to specifically talk about khulu. If a woman personally said, I'm not more
I'm not doing it, don't do
it. It's okay. I'm
right,
good.
Yeah.
With all perseverance, with all lectures, with everything they told, I said, no, I'm not interested. For a tangible reason,
right,
for a reasonable excuse that Islam said, okay, you can kill yourself because you want to manage a man. You have your life and the life you can use for your children. So at the end of the day, she wants to opt out.
Right.
She will give the mahar.
Back.
She will return the mahar back, except if the husband said, okay, go with it.
Mm.
She will return the mahar. No matter how much the mahar is, she must return the mahar. But if it is the husband that said, I'm no more interested, the mahar becomes
hers.
Hers, and he must pay
the future one as well. Interesting.
He must pay the remaining one that is owing. For example, I want 5 million instantly and a mansion in Dubai. But he has given you a mansion, but 5 million naira, he has not given it. After 3 years, he said, I'm no more interested. You have to pay.
Hmm.
Otherwise, you pay it in the day of Qiyamah.
Allahu Akbar. If only people understand the intricacies behind all this. So, you've mentioned that it can be postponed, it can be paid in installments. So it's still on this question, when there's now a divorce, it's a talaq, for example, and he has to pay. So all the future installments payments become payable.
Exactly.
Are the installments agreed, or it becomes payable immediately the divorce
has... As we have started, you can conclude like that.
Okay.
When you were coming in, I agree that... you agree with me that you can pay it at installment. Now you are going, or I said go, I can also agree with you that I'll pay it.
This installment payment stays out.
Exactly. That is why, you see, this topic is very, very important. And for our women that are listening, Islam regarded you as so, do I say, holy? Holy, because if you are not holy, a chapter of Quran will not be dedicated to you.
No.
Some people will just bag their load and say, I'm not interested again. It is easy for them because the mahar was insignificant. And a man can just say, go, I'm not interested in him because he did not pay anything on you. I stand to be corrected. I begin to ask myself, why is it easy for a man to just say, I'm not interested again? Or why are our women not collecting mahar again? Then I feel maybe because some of them have made them render themselves useless. You know, if a man is interested in something, he wants to get there. He doesn't have any access to you. He will be ready to pay that mahar.
True.
But because you are already available. You are available, he has done whatever you think you are keeping, you will not be interested in negotiating anything. So it is an advice to our sisters. Regard yourself as respected, honored as Allah has regarded you. So coming back to your question, it can be paid in installment. Okay, don't worry, I'm not interested again. I'm not also interested. The husband has voiced out that he's no more interested. He has to pay back the dowry. I mean, the mahar that he was owing the woman. It could be instantly and it could be in installment. Wallahu alam.
Now, so I want to take us back to, you know, when I said, is there a prescribed amount or who decides or how much? Is there a peg? Is there like, well, in our family, this is how much our girls take for mahar, and this has been the situation since my great grandmother, and we're not changing the culture or something like that. You know, who decides, oh, this is exorbitant? I can't let you do this.
Do we say Islam also advises us not to make it so exorbitant?
Okay.
Because there's a specific hadith that the Prophet said the best mahar is the sheep one. The best mahar, the most blessed mahar is the one that is cheap.
Okay.
But that does not mean that you
because cheap is relative. Cheap to somebody else that blows, you know, 300,000 in a month cannot be compared to someone that spends 30k in a month. Okay, so cheap is relative.
We consider the status.
Okay.
I want to analyze that sheep, when we are talking about sheep or not sheep, based on the status of the men.
Now,
it could be sheep when you say you want 3 million, or a woman said she wants 3 million from me, and it will be so high for somebody if a woman says I want 100,000 naira from you.
Right.
So consider the status of the husband. If the husband is conveniently giving it, then alhamdulillah.
Okay,
do we have delimitation that it must not be higher than this or it must not be lower than this? No limitation. In fact, one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was given khutbah, and because women are demanding for, do we say, exorbitant mahar, so expensive mahar, so he was carried away, and he was like, "Ah, no, this mahar you are requesting for is too much." Then a woman rise up and said, "Sir, Khatib, is this from Allah or from you? Is Allah complaining or you are complaining?" And Umar said, No, I withdraw from that.
Allah,
it is just my own feeling. Then the woman said, "If it is your own feeling, if there's no revelation from Allah that what we are taking is too expensive, then leave it like that." And Umar says, "So be it."
Mashallah.
So no limitation.
Mashallah.
As per how much or how low should it be? Allah Alam.
Okay, so you know, subhanAllah, in reality check, you're not going to put any figure to it here.
I'm not going to put
it. If Umar could not, why?
I cannot, because Umar was unable to do that.
No, alhamdulillah. So, you know, for the viewers, if you're just joining us, is Everyday Muslim live on WFM, and Sheikh Muniruddin Ariadi is the one that has been walking us through what mahar is. Do you have any questions that you want to ask? Do you have any contributions? Have you been paid your mahar? Did you give up your mahar? What was your condition? What's the situation? Do you want to share with us? Number to call is 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. Once your call comes through, please mute your phone, your radio. Mute the radio so we can talk directly from the phone and we can have a smooth conversation. Alternatively, you can send us SMS or WhatsApp to 07031756537. Send us your message and inshallah I'll read up all the messages. So I have a personal, not me, but a sister of mine asked for a certain surah to be memorized for her mahar. 20 years down the line, the marriage hit the rocks. The husband never gave the mahar. He refused to memorize this chapter. He claimed he's unable to memorize it. He was not an ustaz. He was never an ustaz when you married me. But the woman is claiming, but you agreed to it publicly. We announced the mahar before the entire congregation that attended the nikah. So by Allah, you will pay me my mahar, whether here or hereafter. So what do you say to this couple?
If a woman like that comes to me and, we used to have pre-marital counseling. If I ask a woman and she says, what I need from my husband to be is for him to memorize a portion of surah, I would tell her, no, that is not mahar.
Okay.
That is not. If you are saying he should teach you, right. It's understandable.
Okay.
But you are saying he should memorize. That is what you want.
Okay.
Like a woman saying that, my mahar is, I want you to allow me to go to a specific, there's an organization she belongs to.
Right.
She now said, my mahar is that, allow me to be going to that organization. And the husband said, no, I will not allow you, because in that organization, you go there, you pass a night.
Mm.
You go there, you said you are doing halakha, you pass a night. That is contradicting the hadith and the Quran of Allah. So I can't allow you go there. If you ask a man to memorize some verses or chapters of Quran, anyway, if that is what you want, let it be done before you get married to him.
Hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the man said, I'm not an Hafiz, and I can't do that. Okay, at the end of the day, there's no more marriage. No more marriage between both of them.
Yes.
How will he pay back? He must go and memorize. That's the first question. The second question is, how do you negotiate that? You said it's negotiable. Hmm. How do you negotiate that? Do you negotiate that he must read with the voice of Sudeis or Udevi or Markasi or Adabi? There are many things you can look for, and how is that beneficial to you?
So from her perspective, we ask these questions because we threw it open in a forum so that other younger ones can learn, because it's what, 18-year-old, 20-year-old marriage, loads of kids, and the marriage ended. So her understanding at that time, based on what you mentioned about this hadith, she quoted the hadith about the man who had to give Quran recitation as mahar, as her basis, because that was her understanding at the time. Plus, she also felt that getting him to memorize the Quran will get him closer to Allah, will get him, he would have to get into a circle where he's learning the Quran and becomes a habit for him and becomes a better Muslim. So that was her intention.
Okay.
That hopefully, in the course of memorizing a whole chapter, you know, obviously, you are, a lot of things would have to give, more things. So that was the mindset.
I begin to subscribe to that view.
Yes.
From this explanation you have just rendered, yes, a woman, for example, a woman is a memorizer of Quran, or she loves to listen to Quran.
No.
That is one of the things she cherishes mostly in a man.
No.
And she doesn't want to be under a man and be looking at another man that is reciting Quran. Yes, I agree with you. But our advice, women, that love that, to make sure that brother memorizes
before
they go in. I agree with you. Because we have a lot of memorizers of Quran now, and it could be a cause of disunity, a cause of rancor, discord when they get home. And the sister is reading Quran, and the brother was like feeling inferior. That's why is it? Mm. I've listened to a case of a marital discord where a man is saying that, I didn't marry you to be a scholar in my house.
Subhanallah.
Not in Malib. So forget about that. I don't want to listen to any lecture. Don't tell me about any Quran. Meanwhile, the sister thought she was interested in her being a scholar.
No.
But at the end of the day, that scholarship was a threat to the husband. So I agree with you.
We have a question from Bola here on WhatsApp. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Please, what are the obligatory financial responsibilities of the groom to his wife and family in general?
Okay.
So the groom and so the wife and family, is it the family of the wife that you're referring to? I'm not too sure, but I think I can speak from both sides. So the responsibility of the groom to the wife and family in general.
As soon as a man is picking a wife, his sister to be his wife, he should be responsible. He should take the responsibility of that wife in our own family.
Okay.
What are you giving to your father on a monthly basis? He should be the one to render it.
Imam, please, close to the mic. Up your voice. They did not hear you well. Because these are our brothers that are out there. They did not hear that. Please repeat that part, sir.
The responsibility of a man starts from the wife and the family of that wife.
You must take
the responsibility. She should... You see, they have invested in her. They have invested in her. They made her to be educated. They made her. She's now rendering services to you.
No.
All these services she is rendering, as you are taking care of your own parents, you must take care of her
parents.
Own parents.
Subhanallah.
If it's a monthly allowance you are giving, it has to, the parent must be on the payroll. Just like you do to your own parents. But unfortunately, we only, enslave?
Yes.
Or we use our women,
yes, sir,
to render services to our own parents, and we neglect their parents. And if the parents of our wife comes around, you still say, what is mommy looking for? Why is he calling? If they have not trained that woman, will you be able to marry her? Will she be able to render all the services she's rendering? It is sunnah. It is not something we are just saying. It is sunnah. And generally, to answer the question that my sister has just asked there, somebody came to Rasulullah and said, Mahaku Zawjati Ahadina Ali. What is the responsibility of a man towards his wife? Rasulullah mentioned five things. And to ta'imha idha ta'imt, that you must provide sustenance, food,
feeding.
That's number one.
Wa
taksuha idha taseita, shelter, clothing. It's your responsibility from head to toe. But today, are we doing it? Women are now entering into contribution cooperative before they can buy hijab. It is wrong. And the third one, Prophet Islam said, Wala tukabbih. You must not mention any defects in her in such a way that she will now remember that, my husband later knows my defect or my minus or my all this. And the next one, Wala tadribil wajah. You must not beat her. Wala tahajur illa fil bayt. Whatever rancor, whatever this misunderstanding that happens between you must be settled
in the house.
And we read that Musa Aslam, after the death of Khadija radiallahu anha, Musa Aslam will still share part of the animal he slaughtered to the friends of Khadija. What does that mean? That shows the responsibility even to the friends of his late wife.
Ustaz, I see these things they are saying. Our men don't come across it during the halakha sessions. They have the different halakha. They don't come on.
May Allah forgive us.
Astaghfirullah. They don't broach this topic.
Maybe we are biased.
Subhanallah. May Allah forgive us.
Because it's clearly stated in the hadith of Rasulullah. And in fact, if you read the lifestyle of Rasulullah, it is not hidden. It's not it.
Mashallah. So are there general misconceptions around Mahar that you would like to share with us? And do you think, in your opinion, has Mahar evolved over time? Has it taken different forms from how our predecessors, you know, practiced it?
Yes. There are many misconceptions. It's taken from, some people said, without Mahar, there's no marriage. I think we have cleared that.
No.
Then some people believe Mahar should be restricted to monetary, anything monetary.
Okay.
If it is not money, it is not Mahar. That is a misconception. And some people believe that you cannot say somebody should embrace Islam and you say that is your Mahar. That is also a misconception. Mahar, you see, the easiest way to define it is what pleases a woman and a man consents. That is.
So it pleases the woman, that's what she wants, and the man consents to it.
That is it. That is just the Mahar. Because it's our right. And the misconception when it comes to our local arena, local setup or setting, is that a parent will say, no, we are not selling our children, we don't want Mahar. No, she must not take any Mahar, we don't want dowry, we don't want any Mahar. No. She must collect it. Another misconception is for us to force a man. Yes, it happened of reason that we were in a car like that. It was not earlier negotiated between the man and the wife. And the scholar was like, what do you want to collect from your
husband?
And the wife was like, so amount. The brother exclaimed, because he was not expecting up to that. And he said, inshallah, I will pay it. So the family of the wife noticed that from that promise, it's like he's not ready to pay it. He said, you must pay it today. Pay today before we continue.
Subhanallah.
If you don't pay today, we are not continuing. And they have gotten to the solemnization. So forcing a man like that, to the extent that a man will say, okay, it should be later, you will see. We don't do it that way. It's not the right thing. Then, you see, we just talk about some women that will now make it a point of, hey, this is what, because you listen to a lecture, you now return home. You have collected 2,000, you have collected Surah to Kawthar. You now return home, you are now fighting. No, the mahar you have collected before is legal. And it makes your marriage also legal. But for you to now return home now and be fighting your husband, like, no, you see, what you gave to me, it was a cheating. It, because I don't know. I have settled matter on that to matters. That women will now be fighting now. No. You didn't give me what others are giving there. Is that this are part of the misconception. And I think at the initial stage of our talk here, you have cleared some about dowry, bride price, and so on.
No.
So another thing is, if a woman is going, she said, I'm going, okay, she must return the mahar. And you are now saying, okay, where's the cloth I bought for you? Where's the house I built for you? Those ones are gifts.
Okay.
It is not mahar. It is mahar you are collecting. All other things you have given to her is a gift. You can't collect it back.
What if the mahar or something, so for example, you ask for mahar, you notice that he doesn't have a house of his own, you're renting, and your intention is that if you get a house as your mahar, you live in that house, it now becomes, you know, an owned apartment for you, your family. That is your family house, that's where you live, and now things have gone south, I need to, you know. So would she would
leave? Mahar is for you, but I don't know. I don't know on this art when a man will give a house as a mahar and he doesn't have where he is staying. Will that happen?
Oh yes, it did happen.
Because of love.
Yes.
Well, he has to pack out.
Wow.
Yes, he has to back out. It happens in
the outside other climes, Nigeria. Yes.
That you say, okay, go out. This is my house.
Hmm.
That is what you have given as mahar.
He did give the
house. You have to be skillful in managing the Sharia of Allah. Because, like I said in one of these lectures we did at Lekki, any divorce that happened will be referred before Allah. And will give account of everything. And that's why some of us that we have divorced women, we have to be sober. Because you don't know what's going to be the judgment of Allah. Maybe thinking you are right, you are this, you are that, and people are hailing you. Before Allah, you don't know what is going to happen. So may Allah forgive us all.
Ameen, Ya Rab. So on the final note, what advice would you give individuals upcoming around the issue of mahar? What's the best way to approach it? For those of us that got it wrong due to half knowledge or lack of knowledge, for example, how do we right those wrongs? For someone who wants to renegotiate her mahar, for example, now that she's listening and she knows that she can renegotiate, how do you go about it without, you know, then messing things up beyond,
you know? Mahar should be mutually discussed. Should be a kind of mutual thing. And don't let us forget that it signifies his love. It is not discussed between a brother, a biological brother, and a biological sister. It is not between a friend and a friend, but between a love, two lovers.
Sure.
So, to our sisters, I've mentioned something. I am a man and I know what I'm saying, that a man will always be interested in what he has not tasted. He loves this thing and he has not had any opportunity of getting there. So if you render yourself useless, he's rough handling you, he sees you, you know how I'm saying, your mother may not be so important to him. And you see, through his reaction to maybe giving you or not giving you, know how valuable you are.
Sure.
Like, I want this mother for what? Forget about that. You are not valuable to him. Because it is istiftahu al-farij. In one of the books of fiqh, when they were analyzing sadaq, you know, sadaq is a verb now from sadaqa. Sadaqa is for
charity,
somebody, charity, yeah. Or to be trustworthy, or to trust somebody.
Right.
So they said sadaq signifies his belief in you, that he believes you are worthy. That you are worthy. So for you to now show that you are worthy, take it easy and don't render yourself useless. That is for those
upcoming
sisters and to our brothers. This is the amr of Allah, commandment of Allah. We should not joke with it. If you know you are not ready, then forget about it. For the fact that you give a gift, you buy this, you buy that, you can do all of this. If you don't give mahar, you have not given mahar. If she says, "I want mahar," and you did not give it, now say, upon all what I've done, you have not done anything that is significant in your marriage. And to those brothers that are listening to me, can you please hold a minute and ask yourself, did you really give mahar? Because our caption said, did you have mahar? And then we are asking men too, did you give mahar? So in the day of Qiyamah, you will not be among those men that will be called upon and they will be alleged of fornication and adultery. Why? Allah will say you didn't give mahar. There was no mahar, there was no akd nikah, there was nothing. So my advice to everybody listening is that if you have not given it, please try to give it now. I conducted a nikah about 2 weeks ago. Do you know what happened? The sister and this brother got married for about 5-6 years. But later there were issues. And they went apart. But the brother was interested in that sister, and the sister was also interested. So the one way or the other, after 2 or 3 years, they came back together. That was the first talaq, and they have that opportunity of coming back together. When they came back together, they didn't know that they have to reconduct akdunika. They just pick each other
and carried on from where they stopped.
It was when the sister was carrying the pregnancy. She's impregnated already. They are, you know, it's not surprise to everybody who knew them before. They had a very big nikah before. So the brother was just listening to one of the lectures that says, if you have gone away from each other and you are reuniting each other, there must be
a fresh nikah.
Immediately the brother invited me and said, wallahi, I've committed a sin. Say, why? Do you know this? I said, I knew now that you have come back together. I said, I didn't do any nikah. And I'm afraid to meet Allah that I'm fornicating with her. So what happened? They delivered the baby, and after the baby, before the aqiqah, they did that nikah because it was something they didn't know, and they corrected it. So what I'm saying, what I'm trying to insinuate is that if you know you have not given, you know, some brothers will promise sadaqah. After 10 years, he has not given to this
very
sister.
True, sir.
20 years, he didn't give. They have stopped bearing children, and you did not give a mahar. It is a debt that you must pay. It is a debt. And that is why in the deal, anytime they want to share your property, your estate after your demise, they will ask, what were the procedures you have taken before this marriage? If there was nothing like Islamic marriage, if there was nothing like legal marriage Islamically, she will not collect anything. And one of those things they will ask is, have you paid the mahar? If you have not paid the mahar from your property, they will have to take that mahar, give to her first before sharing the estate. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil, jazakumullah khairan. It's an interesting one, and I do pray that everyone that has listened today can, you know, try to make amends. The whole essence of everyday Muslim is to continue to remind ourselves about the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, you know, hoping that we would take corrections immediately and right those wrongs. Jazakumullah khairan. It's always a pleasure to have you here. And to all of our listeners, Jazakumullah khairan for tuning in. Why not join us same time next week when we bring another beautiful package of Everyday Muslim. I leave you in the able hands of my Oloa Botin. You know, she's been doing a good job ensuring that we had a smooth flow. And of course, all the people in the engine room, thank you so much for giving us a smooth sail. We'll see you next week, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. How
the similarities between us. Take a minute and see yourself in the mirror. You look like me, those eyes, lips, you can't deny. Between us two, we're part of one family. No matter how far you are.